Please stand with us. These things. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to sing a song called Champion, and it's all about how no matter what battle you're facing, what trials in front of you, what giants in front of you, God is our champion and we are victors. We're victorious in him and through him.
Choose someone.
During this next song is our opportunity to bring our offerings, and if you have food banks offerings, we invite you to bring them down at this time too. Yeah, we want, let their worship in this song be to give your gifts to God, whatever you have to bring. And this week's offering is for the New Life Missionaries. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you give us, and we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you. We pray you bless the monies that we give and the foods that we give, and that they would be multiplied in your name and for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Good morning. How are you today? Yeah, it's good. It's really bright outside and sunshiny, and it wasn't like that at the beginning of the week. I thought I was going to drown at one point. Tuesday morning, I got into my car, and my car had a leak. And I knew this earlier on, but we didn't have a whole lot of rain. And then I sat into my car seat, or the driver's side of the car, and not my car seat, the driver's seat of the car. And I got a wet butt. And so Tuesday morning, I had a wet butt for half a day. That wasn't great. But today, look, no wet butt. It's blue sky. It's beautiful. So good. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to New Life Church. It is so good to worship God together, whether you've joined us here in our actual event or you're joining us on our live stream. Welcome this morning. We hope that you feel at home and you feel like you are amongst family this morning. We'd love to connect. If you are new to New Life here at Del Air Road or on our virtual campus, if you're new, we want to get to know you and connect with you. And so if you're here in the building, you can grab a Connect card and fill that out. And then later you can put it into where the offering baskets are. And if you are live streaming with us this morning, I actually had an opportunity to speak to a couple of people who are joining us on our virtual campus. And you have, I'm like a little bit covetous this morning because you have this really cool opportunity to engage in chat. And some of that chat during the sermon has just been really fruitful and awesome. And I'm a little bit jealous because if I talk, I sit up there with my family, if I talk during the sermon, people around me give me this look. Or they go, I guess. But you can actually chat during the sermon, which is awesome. And if you don't know how to do that, you can just log into YouTube and then you're able to be in the chat. Some of you have been live streaming for a while on your smart TV, but not all the time is a smart TV smart. And so you might be trying to figure out how the chat works when you're streaming on Roku or Apple TV, but it doesn't work. You need to actually plug in your laptop into your smart TV and make it even smarter, and then you can chat via your laptop. I just figured that out this week. So welcome here from our virtual campus this morning. Let's give them a big round of applause. Thank them for joining us this way this morning. Awesome. Last night, I got to be in a really awesome community of people supporting Hope for Cora, which is a ministry that we love and is dear to our hearts here at New Life Church. I don't see even Dave here this morning. It's not surprising. They had a pretty busy evening last night. They might be joining us live streaming here this morning. There was a big auction for Hope for Cora yesterday, celebrating 10 years of what God has done through this incredible community. And so last night I just was texting Eve, and I didn't get a response because she was really, really busy, but I was just curious to see how much the auction brought in yesterday. And she texted me earlier, about a half an hour ago, and she said that the auction raised $198,000. Wow, praise God. That is awesome. And then she texted me 5 minutes later and said, scratch that, we just crested 200,000. So that is so cool. God is so good, and it is amazing. I was on one of the first board that started the Ministry of Hope for Cora. And even then, I couldn't imagine the work that God has done through Hope for Cora in 10 years. It's just absolutely amazing to have heard those stories yesterday. And I think we are blessed at New Life to have been part of Eve's journey since that started. So that's pretty amazing. And this morning, look at all this food that is here. This is awesome. This is part of our serve focus, or has been part of our serve focus for the month of October. We're moving into November. Next month, there'll be another serve focus that we'll be talking about then. But we want to just take a moment now to just reflect on all of this goodness here. So it's kind of like Nathan commented, it looks like a grocery store actually right here. This is not for you to just graze here later after the service. This is for helping others in our community that are dealing with food scarcity. But this is incredible here. We have a slide here. Janessa actually organized all of this so we could actually give you these specific statistics. We've collected enough oil to make 55,000 bags of popcorn. Grains of rice, I'm pretty sure Janessa didn't open all of those and then lay them out and count them, but there's enough grains of rice lined up side by side to get from here to Surrey, which is amazing. Jam, enough jam to make 2,600 peanut butter and jam sandwiches. Pasta sauce, pretty sure she didn't do this either because there would be a big mess to clean up, but enough to actually stack them on top of each other and reach the ceiling 1.5 times. So God is good. Let's give God a round of applause. Giving, this will make a huge difference. These items are items that have been specifically identified by the Abbotsford Food Bank as items that they desperately need during this time. So if you have forgotten to bring items, no worries. This will be brought to the food bank this week. But we have a food bank box just outside of the office as well. So anytime you have food bank items, you can donate them and put them in the box outside the office there. Our next announcement is Marriage Night is back. We are planning a marriage night for November the 26th. Invite your friends, whether they're married or not. This will be a fun evening for everyone. Pastor Nathan and Marvin Bravo will be teaching on marriage, and the event will be in person and also live streamed as well. Now, I'm going to call up Rachel Vandenberg, who is going to talk about MNP, Monday Night Prayer.
Hi, everyone. I just want to ask you a question. Have you ever felt the desire or the need to pray more? Well, Monday night prayer is for you, because it is an open place. Sorry, I'm just going to try to understand my writing here. So yeah, I just want to personally invite you guys to Monday Night Prayer. We started it 3 years ago when we kind of just saw a need in our church for more organized prayer or just like a place for members and other people, whoever wants to join, to join. It's only an hour. It's from 7:30 to 8:30 on Monday nights, and we wanted to make it like pretty punctual, so it's not like, you know, you're like staying there for until 9:30. It's literally just till 8:30. So it's not a huge commitment every Monday night, and you also don't have to come every Monday night, but it's whenever you feel the urge or the need to come. It's really open, it's really flexible, so we usually pray about lots of different topics, we try different prayer styles, so yeah, it's just really awesome. It's been really great. We've had some really committed people come and join us, and yeah, so just in this new season, like, we can start it back up again. It's downstairs in the fellowship hall. And yeah, we just really want to see more people come and join us. So yeah, hope that's good.
Thank you, Rachel. All right, we are going to take a brief moment to fellowship together. And at that same time, we'll be dismissing our kids for Kids Church and for Little Lights. For Little Lights kids, those are children ages 3 to 5, will be exiting through those doors to my left. And then Kids Church kids, which is grades 1 to grade 5, can dismiss through these doors here to my right. If you're new and visiting and unsure of where your children need to go, you can just exit through one of these doors and find one of our staff members or our volunteers, and they will direct you to where you need to check your kids in and where you'll pick your kids up after the service is done. Nursery and Little Light kids will need to do a manual check-in process, so don't just send your kids down unsupervised. A parent will need to check them in and do that. And we are going to take 3 minutes now just to let the kids get dismissed. You can grab a coffee, greet one another, and we'll return back together again in 3 minutes. Have a great morning.
Are you hurting, broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the
Right. Please take a seat. Well, good morning. Welcome again to New Life. I'm glad you're here, and welcome again if you're watching us online. And what a great morning. So good. I'm just so glad that we're celebrating one of our partners, Hope for Cora, and the gala that they had last night. So good. And also, we have a partner church in Laure, Honduras, and it's taken a year and a half, but one of the members from that town and from the church there acquired a work visa to work at Vander Meulen Greenhouses. And so I want us to take a moment to welcome Gerardo. I'm not sure where Gerardo is. And I can't even see him if... Oh, there he is. There, yeah. Welcome. So, that's a celebration as well. He'll be working here for several years, and we're really excited to have him in our community as just another connection with our partner church in Laure, Honduras. Really good to have you, Gerardo. Welcome. Well, we are beginning a new series of messages this morning, and I'm a little nervous about it. One of the things that has struck me in the last while, probably in the last 2 months or so, is it's tremendously difficult for us to navigate this pandemic situation. I recently read an article that said, you know, it was nice in 2020 because back then we were just all behaving according to mandates. And now some of the mandates have been reduced to recommendations, and now we're all trying to navigate who's doing what we're supposed to be doing, what other people are telling us that we don't need to do, that sometimes we do need to do, and all of this, and it's just causing a lot of angst. So I want to try to address some of that in the context of listening to God's word to say, God, what do we do in this situation? Help us, God, with this struggle of how do we behave in our current situation? So that's what we're going to be talking about, and makes me nervous because it puts me in the crosshairs. Some of what you might hear, you might say, I doubt it. That's no. So, in fact, I would encourage you, perhaps on your phone or if you brought your Bible with you, to open to Romans chapter 14. We're going to be reading from there. And try to pull out some helpful stuff that Paul says, even though what Paul is talking about, Paul's the writer of this letter to the Roman Christians, a church that, in fact, at this point he had not even visited, but he was advising them and in this letter. So that's what we're talking about today. And I think we are just in this time where we need to pay attention to the nature of our relationships, the nature of our relationships. So this isn't a fix-it sermon. This isn't a how-to sermon in terms of fixing it. This is a sermon that is going to help us reflect on the nature of our relationships, and hopefully that helps us then to navigate our current situation. Because if we don't pay attention to the nature of our relationships, and I think the nature of our relationship in the context of church is significantly different than out there in the world. And if we don't pay attention to that, then we're going to sink. We'll sink as a community, we'll sink as a family, we'll sink as a body of Christ, the church. So that's why we titled this series Relationship Sink or Sink. Right? You get it, right? Like it's kind of like a dad joke. But we developed a mascot, and here's our ship, okay? Here's our ship. So that's going to help you remember that we're talking about relationship or sink. What's going to carry the weight of our... It's not that funny. What's going to carry the weight of our relationships, right? And, yeah, so, I mean, this thing, you know, it's... Well, I can say it's a ship, but you're going to say, no, it's not. It probably wouldn't even float. Well, maybe it would, but it's pretty flimsy. As soon as we put something in it, it would probably sink. But isn't that sometimes the nature of our relationships as well? That they're pretty flimsy. That we look at our relationships and say, will it carry the weight of what we're burdened with, our relationships? Will it carry it? So, I hope it stays together. Yep. All right. There you go. So this is what Paul is talking about, the nature of our relationships in Romans chapter 14. I'm going to read just the first nine verses. Actually, the argument that Paul presents with respect to a context of division in the church carries on through chapter 15 up to verse 12, up to verse 15. But just the first nine verses of Romans 14. Here it is. This is the word of the Lord. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Or to use another example, Paul has, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them, I like this, each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone. None of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. So what's Paul getting at here? I think the first thing is in the context of our, you know, what sinks a relationship. The first thing that Paul is observing is that, well, indeed, disagreements sink a relationship. But Paul writes in such a way that it's evident that he would acknowledge that in our relationships, there will always be disagreement. This is why I like that statement that he says, The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does, for God has accepted them. Where was that? One person considers one day more sacred than another. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. It's almost like Paul is egging them on. Disagreements are going to be in our relationships. That's humanity. That's how we live. One person thinks this way, another person thinks that way. There is that disagreement. In Rome, there were two big ones, apparently, in this church that Paul is addressing. What food to eat, because there were religious attachments to what you ate. And so that had eternal impact on your spiritual life in terms of what you ate. And what days you observed in terms of special faith practices. Likely this was, you know, Christians of Jewish background, they probably observed the Sabbath day, which was Saturday, and other probably Greek Christians, perhaps converts, they probably observed any day, or likely the day the Lord arose from the dead on Sunday. So, and then Paul even aggravates the disagreement, it seems to me, by labeling those who follow good practice, those who were following the rules, those who had theology to back them up, those that said, well, this is the way it's been done for years and centuries, and so therefore we're right. Those, Paul says, those are the people weak in faith. One person's faith allows them to eat anything. Those were the sloppy people. They just didn't pay attention to the rules and all that stuff, right? One person's faith allows them to eat anything. But another, people that paid attention to the rules and, you know, it mattered to them. He says, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Can you imagine if Apostle Paul was standing here and he claimed that all of you, you're here in church, so therefore you're paying attention, and he's saying, yeah, your faith is weak. You know, so it's the people that aren't, you know, they're sloppy, they're not paying attention, they seem careless. He labels them with strong faith. That kind of irked me, actually, when I first read that, and probably you're doubting whether I even am interpreting this passage correctly. We don't like to be labeled like that. So Paul seems to exaggerate even the disagreement. Which makes me think that the foundation of our relationships is certainly not in whether we can achieve agreement altogether. The foundation of our relationships, what's going to make this relationship float, given all of the weight of our current circumstance, is not going to be agreement. And then Paul goes on to add something else to this. Because what's going to make the relationship sink, really, Paul adds, it's not just disagreement, but contempt and that kind of judging that condemns people. Paul warns of this throughout this passage. We not only are going to disagree, but he said what causes us to sink in our relationships is the fact that in our disagreements, we dismiss the other side. We disqualify them automatically. We even condemn them. I mean, this shows up in our lives because of electronic media, where algorithms are at work, so that if you take a particular side on some social issue, you're going to get flooded with information on that particular side. And it makes it so easy for us to ignore the other side altogether. To simply constantly be fed with our side of the information. Personally, I think we just live in a society with way, way, way too much information. We think information's going to save us, and it won't. So there's a lot of that going on, this kind of disagreement that not only says, hey, I have a different opinion, but that also says, I'm not even going to listen to you. There's a lot of that going on, and even in the church. Retired editor of Christianity Today, Mark Galley, comments on this business as well and reflects on Dorothy Day's words. Dorothy Day was an American journalist of the last century, a social activist, a woman of very strong opinions, but also a sincere Christian. And Dorothy Day wrote these words. She said, I see only too clearly how bad people are. You're thinking, ooh, that doesn't sound good. But then she adds, I wish I did not see it so. It is my own sin that gives such clarity. My own sin that gives me the clarity of seeing the badness in people. She goes on, if I did not bear the scars of so many sins to dim my sight and dull my capacity for love and joy, then I would see Christ more clearly in all of you. Pretty stark words. Galley suggests that while we have a lot to work out to discern what following Jesus looks like today, and perhaps it looks a lot different than in years past. Certainly is a lot more difficult to discern what it looks like to follow Jesus in our day. We've got lots of disagreements to hash through. Galley suggests that the place to start is not by pointing the finger at the other side simply to show how bad they are. But it's to take a look at ourselves first. To take a look at ourselves. Now don't go, oh man, I hope somebody else takes a look at themselves. No, for you to take a look at yourself. Because the kind of contempt that is, I would suggest, rampant in our society is going to make our relationships sink. So what will carry the weight of our relationships? Well, Paul starts off with the idea of being welcoming. Being welcoming. The Bible talks about, Romans 14 talks, right off the bat, talks about accepting the other. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable. Accept. That word accept embraces all this sense of being welcoming. And it maybe sounds too quick, but it's a matter of hospitality. It's a matter of receiving the other unconditionally. Receiving one another without qualification. Disagreement cannot be dismissed. It has to be received. Even embraced. That's really hard. It's at least really hard to preach, coming from a person who tends to run away from conflict. Disagreement has to be received and even embraced. So here's where perspective and orientation are so important. Here's where examining the nature of our relationship within the church is so dramatically different than what's generally out there. Paul says, verse 4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? And what he's talking about is the fact that you and I are servants of God. We are not each other's servants. You don't own anybody. And so he's saying, if someone's been welcomed by God as a servant, someone is received by God, then we can't just dismiss them. Even if they have a different opinion or a different slant or a different perspective. So we've got to work hard at that welcoming attitude. We've got to work hard at that hospitality orientation. To receive people into the community because they belong to God. Not because they agree with us, but because they belong. So here's the other thing that I think is the key to carrying the weight of our relationships, and that is this sense of belonging. Our foundation in relationship, in the context of church, our foundation of being in relationship, we said, is not about agreement, but rather it's about belonging to Jesus. Now, don't underestimate that as just some, you know, pious language that, a preacher is supposed to say. But our thoughts and our opinions and our behaviors are shaped by who and what we belong to. And here's the problem. In our culture, at least, in our society, it's way too easy for us to think in terms of accepted expectations, to think that we determine our own identity. We hear it everywhere. You shape your future. You shape your destiny. You can be whatever you want to be. And the assumption is that we own ourselves. We belong to ourselves. We are servants to ourselves. And so you get the self-satisfaction, the self-fulfillment, the self-motivation, the self-contentment. To think that we determine our own identity and our own destiny is presented to us as ultimate freedom. I get to choose. And it's simply not true. It's in fact a burden that is testified by our generations of children who are faced with so many opportunities and so many resources, they don't know what to do with it. Alan Noble talks about that in his book, You Are Not Your Own, what it means to belong to God. And he says, a society premised on the sovereign self, the assumption that I belong to myself, that I determine my destiny. A society premised on the sovereign self has no discernible end, no sense of meaning, no sense of purpose, only an ever-expanding and ever-demanding number of means. We collect all this stuff. We say, here, take this, do something with it, be all that you can be. Alan writes, you will keep searching, you will keep expressing, you'll keep redefining, you'll keep striving for your autonomous personhood until you die. You'll never get anywhere unless you belong. unless you belong to Jesus, unless you're a servant of Christ. That's why Paul, in this argument here about how to get along in disagreement, keeps referring to do it as unto the Lord. Do it for God. Whatever you're doing, do it for God. Because ultimately you belong to God. You're God's servant. You're not a slave to yourself. You're a slave to God. But the fact is, you're a slave. You're a servant. You don't get to do whatever you want. That ends up being a burden in our lives. Ultimate freedom is serving God. Ultimate freedom, being able to choose, is about choosing in service to God. So you're not in relationship with others because you have agreement, but because you belong to God, and so do they. That puts you in relationship. That's the nature of your relationship. And that kind of relationship, well, it's going to stay afloat. Belonging to God is the full context of your life's meaning and your life's purpose. And so our end, our goal in life, is not simply to discover ourselves, but instead, it's about being directed, being led, being shaped, being guided by the one to whom we belong. That's the context of living in this world. That's the context of our relationships. And so belonging then defines our relationships and our disagreements. You can't solve a disagreement by saying, yeah, whatever. Because it does matter. That's why Paul says, whatever side you take, either believe it wholeheartedly or change your mind. And I would suggest being open to changing your mind. We'll talk about that next week. You can't solve a disagreement by claiming that you can decide for yourself. Because the fact is, you are not your own. Belonging to Jesus directs us and guides us, gives us purpose, meaning to our lives. And in that context, we have disagreements. And sometimes those disagreements are painful. Sometimes those disagreements not only hurt, but they are hurtful. But God's word is about enduring because of this ultimate relationship that defines us. Belonging to Jesus. Not because you're a liberal or conservative, not because you're male or female, not because you're progressive or traditionalist, not because you're vaxxed or unvaxxed, not because, as Paul would say, you're Jew or Gentile, but because you belong to Jesus. Folks, we have a wonderful way of celebrating that, in fact. We have a wonderful way to celebrate and to experience how Jesus has welcomed us. It's called the Lord's Supper. In confessing Jesus as the Savior of your life, as the Master and Lord of your life, I invite you to celebrate this belonging to God here this morning. Because in belonging to God, we belong to each other, even in disagreement. And so when you take in the bread and the juice from the communion elements, it signifies that Christ gives himself to you. And that is a curious thing. That's God's way of saying, you belong to me. I say it's curious because the expectation would be that if something belongs to me, I grab it and I say, this is mine. God, on the other hand, when he says, you belong to me, he gives himself to us. That is the way in which we can keep our relationships from sinking. That whatever belongs to us, we are always ready to give it up for God's sake. And so may we do the same as God has done for us. May we do it to and for each other, to give ourselves up for one another, for God's sake. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took a cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death, his sacrifice, until he comes again. Take in this supper and take in Jesus Christ and let Christ himself transform us for his sake and for the sake of his kingdom. Welcome to this celebration of the Lord's Supper. While the rest of the congregation in the auditorium is taking part of the elements in this celebration, I invite you to gather your bread and your juice, and we are going to celebrate here together. And so take the bread, and as you eat it, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the forgiveness of all your sins. And then take the juice. Jesus poured out his blood so that you could have life and life forevermore. So take it, drink this juice, remember and believe that Jesus poured out his blood for the forgiveness of all your sins to redeem you into a brand new life. We now rejoin the live stream of the worship service, and you may have to wait for some of the other groups to finish up, and then we will resume our worship together. bless you as you go out into this week with the words from Romans chapter 15. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to take a seat for a moment. This is the last Sunday as well that Mike Vanderquack, Pastor Mike, is working with us, and so I want to invite Patty and Mike to the front here and just extend a word of thanks for their participation. This is the an unfarewell, or not, that sounds bad. It's a not farewell because it's not that they're leaving. But Mike is ending his work here, and so we just want to take a moment, Mike and Patty, to thank you. You have been an amazing servant. It's been just amazing to work with you, Mike, on my part, and man, yeah. It's hard to part ways this way, and know that your work has expanded the kingdom of God, and it's inspired us to walk with Jesus. And so for both of you, thank you so much for your servant heart, for the blessing that you have been and that you will continue to be here at New Life. We want to thank you for your work, and so just as appreciation, we want to bless you. All right? So take the time to bless Patty and Mike. There is also opportunity for you to write out on cards in the foyer just a note of encouragement, a note of blessing, a note of thanks. And also some probably not so flattering pictures of you in the foyer there. And then to show that, man, we loved you, we put a little video together. And so take a seat, recline in it, and just take a look, folks. And then enjoy some cake in celebration of Mike and Patty, and enjoy the coffee, and then you will be dismissed.
Great.
I'm so happy.
Overacting, I love it.
Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
Like an apple.
Okay, right. Okay, full send.
Oh my goodness.
Oh.
You're thinking too much.
I know I am. I want to say too much.
It's recording.
Oh. I didn't know.
You said that.
Oh, okay.
If you
sorry, I jumped in too quick. I just made a transition. Okay, all right. Smiling faces, take two.
Hey, Mike. We just want to send you some love. And man, we've sure had a lot of fun working together, as those previous video clips remind us of your crazy antics as well.
We're so excited to be able to just tell Mike and Patty how much we love them. They've been co-conspirators in the gospel since 1994 when we first came to Abbotsford. Mike is a friend. He's mentored me in different ways. And we just want to wish them the best and a blessing on their future.
So it's going to be hard to think of New Life Church without Mike as executive pastor. He's certainly been an integral part of my experience at New Life Church. But I have a question for Mike. What do you think? A beard or no beard? A beard or no beard? Mike, of course, was instrumental in raising thousands of dollars in having people bid on whether or not he should keep his beard or shave his beard. Keep his beard or shave his beard. Great memory of that time, and pulled all of New Life together that only Mike could do in that way. Gonna miss you as executive pastor, Mike, and thanks for everything you do.
Thank you for our friendship, to our family, you and Patty, and the way you've done a ministry and life. I just pray a blessing over you. Pray for peace and strength over you in Jesus' name.
Through all the time I've worked with you have been faithful, you have been Christ-focused, and you have been completely committed to doing God's work here in this place and in this community. You have led with integrity, and even in your leaving, you have put this church and its ministries first. Thank you for your leadership.
When you started this role, I just remember being so excited, and it was amazing to watch you just work with the finance team and with the elders and with the staff and figure out, what is this position? How does this work? What does New Life need out of this role, and how to do it really, really well? And that's what you did, Mike. So it was an honor being a part of that, and a blessing for me to be able to witness you doing that so well. And over these years, you've just continued to do that.
Good morning, Mike. Elsie and I want to thank you for your service to New Life these past 8 years. We're thankful for God leading you and Patty to us. And we also know that God will lead you and Patty in the next years as they come forward. We want to pray our blessing on you and your family, and thank you again for what you've done for New Life.
I really appreciated the work that you've done over these years. I think about all the many, many times we sat around the same board table, and really appreciated the wisdom and discernment that you brought to our many challenging decisions. You're very thoughtful. You're a good listener. You contributed wisely at times when we needed to hear that opinion, and you're just a great added value to the work that we did. And so I'm wishing you and Patty all the best. God's blessing to you. Thank you for your service, Mike. You are very much appreciated. Thank you.
We're so grateful for how you have spoken our lives. You are godly people, and we've loved raising our kids with you. Thank you for sharing your gift of music, Patty. It's been an inspiration. And we love you and hope all the best for you in your future.